because, like, my natural inclination is to say, well, fuck all this magic bullshit.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talked to Dr. Megan Culverhouse of the Ridiculous Puppet Company. You guys, she was raised by atheists. She's a second-generational atheist.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick.
Hi.
And Tim.
Hi.
And today, we have a very special guest with us. It is our good friend, Megan Culverhouse.
Hello.
Yay, that was very anticlimactic. I gave you a big
fist.
Hello.
Also known as Dr. Megan from the Ridiculous Puppet Company.
Officer Megan from Days of Crossing Guard Yore.
Yep. Yeah, Officer Megan, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I still have the shirt at home. Sometimes
just
I get
for the bedroom.
Yep.
Yeah. I understand how that goes.
So we are here because we all know Megan, both personally and professionally, but the most exciting thing, when you told us recently, we were talking about topics, was that you are a second-generation atheist.
I am.
You're an atheist raised by atheist parents.
One atheist, one agnostic, but yes.
Okay, yes. Fair enough. No religion.
Doesn't count.
No religion. There was no moment when
Goodbye.
Like they decided, oh, we're going to stop going to church.
Nope. They never decided went. Long ago that they were not going to continue going to church. They were both raised Catholic.
Okay.
So I'm a cultural Catholic, I guess. But,
sure.
The God I don't believe in is probably Catholic flavored, I think. And I tend
yummy
to...
Yummy Catholic flavored God.
Tastes like shame.
And communion wafers.
It
does. It's a dry... papery shame.
It's like all the guilt, but none of the salvation. It's
ooh,
pretty
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah.
tastes like my uncle. What? My uncle's Catholic.
So that's what you meant. Anyway.
Yeah. Where should we start?
So your parents were atheists before they had you.
Yep.
Like long before. And then do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one younger brother.
All right. And so is your younger brother also a nun, an atheist agnostic?
You know, I'm not entirely sure where he falls on the spectrum. You know, he and his wife, when they had kids, they both decided that they wanted to have the kids baptized in the Catholic Church. I know that her family is strongly religious, although... not so strongly religious that they didn't just recently celebrate her brother's big fat gay wedding. So,
okay.
You know, they're very liberal Catholics.
They're reasonably religious.
Yeah.
Tim's mom is that kind
of
Catholic.
Yeah.
They're hippie liberal Catholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in hippie liberal Catholicism. It wasn't bad.
My parents did not, however. So,
yeah.
So it was a much different thing, a much different time and place, I guess. For my parents, like my dad is very much the strong atheist in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this feeling like he shuns the internet because he feels that it is a terrible and scary place. But I imagine that if he was online, he would probably be called, and I'm going to use this term and feel free to hit me for it afterwards, he'd be called a fundamentalist atheist.
Oh, yeah. Right. An asshole atheist.
Yeah. Yes.
An anti-theist.
Angry atheist.
Anti-theist.
Sure.
Yes, very much. He is, he was... I'm trying to figure out where to start there. My father's side of the family, they're all Italian, very Catholic,
mm-hmm.
very heavily, heavily Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was very young, I'm going to say like two or three, my grandmother got divorced from her abusive husband, and it was a big deal. You know, her parents were very unhappy with her because, you know, you just don't do those
you
things.
You do not get divorced.
No.
Yeah.
In the Catholic Church. That's a bad
it is
thing.
Not a done thing.
You didn't do it in the Methodist Church back then either, I'll have you know, because my great-grandma did the same thing, so yeah.
So were there consequences for that for her? Or
for her, not so much. For my dad, it was more that from a very early age, then it was, why are we listening to the Pope and the Church and the priests who are so concerned about divorce being immoral when... you know, he in his own life could clearly see that his life and his brother's life improved vastly after their abusive father. And then, you know, for him it was a whole series of Catholic schools and getting the crap beaten out of him by nuns.
Mm-hmm.
I think for him, probably the part that really killed any latent agnosticism in him was he served in Vietnam.
Oh.
And that was...
Uh-huh.
He... in talking with him about it, you know, he's often said that the line "there are no atheists in foxholes" is a goddamn lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, and this is how he puts it, that you cannot possibly believe in a loving and caring God when there are people blowing up all around you. And
sure, that makes complete sense to me.
It does. He feels that he got out of that country with his life and limbs and sanity intact by pure random happenstance. Hmm. It was absolutely a complete coincidence, and for him, it has been very hard because it was just total blind luck.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stories that he's told me, and not all of which are appropriate for sharing, but he tells this story about how when he was on recon, this was in 1969, mm-hmm. they were going through the woods, and he's the fourth guy in line, and just because they happened to form up that way that he's the fourth guy in line, and the guy who was running the recon, the one who's the point man, stepped on a landmine and vaporized himself, and the two guys behind him were killed, and it just so happened that because he happened to be fourth in line, he lived.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
yeah, that's an argument against God for me, I would say. I mean, really, like.
Yeah.
But for him, it's more of an argument for coincidence and for happenstance, for random chance.
Shit happens.
Does he not attribute that to being almost an argument against God in a way? Because I feel like what a lot of people would attribute to mm-hmm. the grace of God, God's protection.
They wouldn't see
that as
a mind just killed three people.
Right.
That's terrible.
They would see that as 25% odds.
God spared my life for a higher purpose.
What a miracle that you lived. No, right. Man. What a tragedy that three died. I mean, yeah. You lived, and that's
God's grace for Eugene Wheeler.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no miracle when 3/4 of the people in this situation are dead.
Yeah.
Those aren't good betting odds.
The miracle is if a guy steps on a landmine and they all survive. I mean, it's still not a miracle. But I'd be more willing to argue for a miracle to entertain an argument for a miracle if somebody stepped on a landmine and all four of those guys lived.
One guy stepped on a landmine, three guys died. That's not miraculous. That's engineering.
Well, the contra to that is, you know, he was, same year, same assignment, there was, I don't remember all of the details of this story because it's been a long time since I've heard it, but they were out on patrol again. It was not a foxhole, one of the tunnels.
Or?
Yes. Okay. Someone threw a grenade at their unit, and it hit him in the chest, and it fell on the ground as it was a dud.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and when he was in basic training, they said the odds that a grenade isn't going to go off are 1,000,000 to 1. They are designed, they are engineered, they are supposed to explode. And so the fact that this one didn't, that doesn't make it miraculous. It is a freak coincidence.
And again, a person with any bit of religious inside him or her, I honestly think might have come away with that saying, I'm under God's protection.
If you take those two facts and put them together, it's
miracle.
Like God wants me to live.
If you had weak faith or not much faith, that might like re-inspire you.
That's,
I mean, people might... God, that's...
It's amazing that... I mean, I think it speaks to your dad's like absolute... faith, if you will, in not there not being a god,
mm-hmm.
like you say, a Gnostic theism or atheism, as it were, where it's you're positive, you're right, and mm-hmm. there's no god. You know, it is a fundamentalist view, mm-hmm. but when you were growing up, did you ever have any curiosity about or experiment with religion?
Oh yes, very much. You know, my family. You know, we were the only atheist, out an atheist family that we knew at the time, because we grew up in White Bear Lake, and White Bear Lake is not known as one of the most enlightened towns.
No.
Shout out to White Bear Lake.
I lived right by there, yeah.
And so, you know, I had a lot of friends that were very religious. One of my two best friends when I was in elementary school, one was an evangelical, one was a Catholic, and I went to church with both of them. And I went to summer vacation Bible camp with them, and you know, and for me it was sort of hey, I'm going out and hanging out with friends, because you know, I don't care about Jesus or God or any of these things. They just never were part of my my world as a kid. So going to these camps, like, okay, I'm going to space out while we're talking about these boring Bible stories. But, ooh, crafts. I like crafts.
It meant nothing to you, so it wasn't an obstacle to go to those
things. I will not listen to your Bible stories, but I will make a cross out of macaroni.
Did it come up at all? Like,
did anyone tease you or pressure
sort of
you?
Confrontation at the camps, like with the leadership or anything? Or
no, actually, it was. I was really lucky that, you know, because my parents were atheists. My dad was very vocal and very clear with my school and my teachers that this is who we are and this is how we're going to do it. Like for about second grade, I quit standing for the Pledge of Allegiance because I wouldn't say under God, and the first time that happened, the teacher was like, this is a serious thing. I'm going to talk to your dad. She called my dad. My dad is completely unloaded on her. Like, why are you forcing my daughter to say a loyalty oath that includes the words under God? What's wrong with you? This is America. Let me call my lawyer.
Awesome.
And so he was really good about that. I never felt, when I was a kid, I never felt that being an atheist was something that was bad or was wrong. It was just that we were different than other people. We didn't have to go to church for Easter. I didn't have to give anything up during Lent, and I was confused why people gave up these things.
Why would you willingly do these things that are negative?
Like, I love chocolate. Why would you give up chocolate? Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And you know, because you're a kid, you don't know any different.
Did you ever look into anything? I mean, was there anything that, like, did you ever think, because I know a lot of times, you know, kids rebel, and so there's that idea of, like, well, why don't we go to, and you're going to your friends' churches and things. I mean,
occasionally. They were
boring. Plus, you're a festy and there's that paganism kind of atmosphere out there. I think we all kind of.
Yeah, but I didn't come to the Renaissance Festival until I was in my 20s.
Okay.
So I wasn't raised out there or anything.
Sure.
I was, you know, my parents were Reformed hippies, so I guess there was sort of that pan-pagan flavoring.
Spiritual, generic
energies.
That went on when we went out to visit with their friends, but,
sure.
You know, their friends were really weird.
Crystal soap and marijuana.
No. Like, so I just learned this like 3 weeks ago, and I was talking with my mom. So one of my dad's best friends when I was a kid is a domestic terrorist. He was a co-conspirator in a bombing, an SDS bombing in Madison.
Really?
And he went to prison. A security guard died in the bombing. Like, the four bombers went to prison for life. He was one of the guys who was, I don't know, distracting or something. He was a lesser member of the conspiracy and went to prison for like 3 or 4
years. I know all about that case. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, that's so crazy.
So cheers to random coincidence.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So, you know,
clearly God was working on your father by having him not be.
Yes.
Or your mother. I don't know.
I like to think of it as just one more thing I have in common with Barack Obama is we hung out with.
I get hung out with
domestic terrorists. Yeah, right. So I had the scare quotes around that.
And neither one of you are American, so
no, that's right. I was born in Kenya.
Obviously.
But I think at least the one thing that struck me, and I was actually going to save this answer for the five questions later on.
Oh,
but the one time that I felt discriminated against when I was a kid was my best friend Sarah. We were 7 years old. She had just gotten back from church, and I guess the youth program had been doing this big push for, you know, talk to your friends about God.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that I wasn't allowed to play with her Barbie dolls unless I would accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
Whoa! That's so much. That's such a, like, I can totally see this 7-year old thing.
And I just wanted to play with Barbies and, like, play dress up and, like, have them have a big gay Barbie wedding. It was glorious.
Yeah.
And so I was in tears because I didn't understand what she was talking about. And I went home to my mom and I cried and cried and cried. And she called my friend's mom, and they had a long conversation, and we worked it out, and we were still able to be friends. It's just they never brought up Jesus around me again.
Well, but that's amazing that they didn't.
Yes.
It sounds like, it's so funny because it's this charmed story of all of these amazing, I mean, as we all agree, coincidences of, but like, those are all slim odds. I mean, the grenade with your father and the landmine and the fact that you seem to have encountered a whole bunch of Catholics and Christians that were fundamentalist and didn't try to push Jesus on you.
Well, like going just once, when it had to do with Barbie.
Well, but going to camps and going to, and she had a fundamentalist best friend and never felt persecuted.
Mostly because I was oblivious to it. Because religion is just not something that was part of our vocabulary in my home when I was growing up, like, I know more about Star Wars and NASA because those were like the real religions in our household. You want to talk about morality, we're going to go to Star Wars, and we're going to talk about, you know, look at the moral lessons contained within, because my dad is kind of a crazy movie buff like that. And, you know, NASA, like, the space program, like, I know for a fact that a large part of my father's interest, why he identifies as an atheist, not just as a non-theist, or, you know, is because he is such a fan of the space program. And you know, he was born in 1948, so when he was a little kid, like, he grew up watching the NASA grow and become what it is. You know, so he was born, what, like, 6 months after the sound barrier was broken, and so, like, the whole, you know, the Gemini program and the Mercury program.
His life was a huge leap.
Yeah.
He would have been, well, we were just talking about this, he wouldn't have been a jaded teenager for the moon landing. He would have been out of that phase, and it would have been a wonderful thing.
Oh, no, he was, like, 17 years old.
We were saying how awful it must...
It was beautiful. It was fantastic for him.
We were saying how awful it must be to be that person who has the memory of being, like, some, like, jackass 13 or 14-year-old who was like, whatever, I don't even care about the moon, and like I just want to play with my friends, and, like, not watching it, or, like, being sulky, and now they're like, oh, it was such an asshole.
As an adult, they're just like, I
could have watched it on TV, and I sat in my room, and
where were you?
Yeah,
I listened to records because I was upset about a girl.
No, like, he sat in his living room with his butt on the floor in front of the TV, just absorbing all of it. You know,
that's amazing.
Like, you know, coming from a cultural Catholic standpoint, like, there are, I consider, like, Gus Grissom. Gus Grissom is one of my favorite astronauts of all time, and I consider him to be a secular saint. You know, these people, they martyred themselves for science. They went on these missions knowing that they could die,
and
but they did it anyway.
Some of them did die, too.
Because,
I mean, that's like saints.
Grissom was Apollo 1.
He died in the Apollo
1.
Right.
On fire.
But, I mean, more than Grissom died.
There are a couple other guys who give
the
fuck.
But, like, also, like, Christy McAuliffe and, like, other, like, I mean, there's a whole bunch. There's, like, the whole cadre of saints. That's a really apt analogy. Like,
the guys who killed themselves trying to break the sound barrier. I just recently watched The Right Stuff, so it's
right on.
Awesome.
My
favorite thing to do, by the way, when I'm, like, doing Apollo program something, is I'll sit and I'll watch The Right Stuff, and then I'll watch The Dish. I don't know if you've ever seen The Dish, but it's an amazing Australian film about
the
radar
the...
dish that
cool.
broadcast the pictures from the moon. It's a comedy. Anyway, and then I watch Apollo 13, and that's, like, you know, my trio of Apollo movie films to watch, a go-to kind of thing for me.
Absolutely.
So,
Are you planning on having kids?
Nope.
No. You're like me and Nick, or are you just kind of not sure yet? Or
kids aren't in the cards for me.
Cool,
medical reasons.
Agreed. So. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So do you feel like... do you think your brother and his wife are going to have kids?
They do have kids.
They have kids. And how are they raising them?
You said baptized, right?
Yeah, they have been baptized. Yeah. I don't know.
That can always be to please the family.
Right.
And I'm fairly sure it is.
Political.
You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they plan on raising them, but it's something that, you know, I talked about it with my parents, at least. Like, how are we going to pass down our family traditions to our nieces? Because... you know, my brother's in-laws, you know, they have every right to be able to share their family history and their story with, and what are the important values in their family with these kids, but we also have that same right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so how do we transmit our values and the things that we feel are important, you know, including atheism to these kids, and be able to do it in a loving and holistic way, but still also be able to let them make up their own minds when they get to that age.
So the question I wanted to ask, you know, because I am raising kids and I'm an atheist, and I was curious, you know, and I've talked on the podcast a lot about how I don't want to indoctrinate my children into atheism, because that's one of the things that I really am offended about when it comes to religion, is the way that they indoctrinate children. We just went to Grace Church, and they had this huge thing about proselytizing to children.
Right.
And to me, that's exactly wrong. I think that...
Morally
wrong. Truly. I think that my kids need to make a decision for themselves, and that I'm willing to communicate with them what I believe without saying, and you need to believe this. And I'm wondering, when you were growing up, having especially your dad, who is a very militant atheist, how did he deal with that? How did that work?
Well, I think a lot of that was balanced by my mom, whom I haven't spoken about a lot. Mm-hmm. And she is the agnostic in the family. And for her, her loss of faith started when she was a kid as well. Her mom was an obstetrics nurse and, you know, smart, savvy woman. My grandmother was. She was a lieutenant in the Army during World War II. Mm-hmm. She served in London during the Blitz.
That's
like
awesome.
She was an amazing woman. And my, you know, they're very Catholic. She had seven kids, and my mom is the second oldest. And, you know, she was asking my grandmother one day. My mom was probably about 8 years old. My grandmother was pregnant with my youngest niece, and or my youngest aunt, rather.
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, she had a fairly good idea of how babies got into the lady, into the mommy, but how do they come out? And my grandmother, who is a nurse, an obstetrics nurse, looks at my mother and says that, well, that's the miracle of birth. You see, God opens a bloodless and painless womb in the woman's abdomen, and the doctors reach in and lift the baby out, and then miraculously the wound heals painlessly and bloodlessly. It does not leave a scar, and
oh,
that's
my God,
how babies come out.
What
yeah. So and my mom,
she knew that was a lie,
so then she was like, I'm gonna go get knocked up right away. Like,
that sounds easy as fuck,
consequence free, and to get a baby.
Yeah, no. So my mom, very very, you know, she was like 8 when this happened, and she was like, this is obviously not true. And that's when she started really to question the things that her parents were telling her, because obviously, you know, if they're willing to lie about something that's so biologically obvious, what other things would they have to? And she never, for her, it was a much more difficult transition into agnosticism. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, she was, out of her sisters, and she has 5 of them, she was the most feminist of the sisters. She was the one who really wanted to go to college and get the hell out of the tiny little podunk town that they lived in, because she recognized that getting a good education was the only way to get out of becoming a baby factory
just
for her husband.
Changed the town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all my cousins on my one side. Mm-hmm. Like, that's,
yeah.
And, you know, so when she was going to college, you know, while my dad's in Vietnam, my mom is back here in the States in college. And, you know, so she was around during the 68 Chicago riots.
Oh, wow.
She was around during the Kent State massacres. You know, for her, it was like the whole country was just in this revolution. How can, you know, for her, it was less of a blinding flash of obvious that there is no God, but more of a realization that it's just people. It's just all of us, and we keep fucking up. Mm-hmm. And so for her, her agnosticism, I think, kind of tempered my dad's militancy. And, you know, so she was really the one who encouraged me to go out and find your own place. So I think that, I don't know if that actually answers your question, Tim, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is, how old are your kids now?
Alex is 14 and Devin's 9.
Okay. I think that it's too late and they're probably going to be atheists. I think the Jesuits are right, and if you can't catch them before they're 7, then that's kind of what... And this is something... This is a thing I feel uncertain talking about because I never had to have a coming out moment with my family or my parents. Yeah. There was never a moment at which I lost my faith. You know?
Right.
So, but I it is my understanding from reading other atheist stories that moment of realization is such an impactful moment, or can be very deep.
For some.
And certainly, you know, for some it's
and it
just
depends
whatever.
On, yeah, I've always said that I don't think I ever had faith. Mm-hmm. It was merely that slow slide to go to finally realize that I'd never bought any of this bullshit to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But then you were depressed about the loss of things, though, like your dad and stuff like that. I mean,
there was never a day where I was like, oh, fuck, this means I'll never see my dad again. It's just that, you know, it was very slow. It wasn't a sudden, holy shit, I don't believe in God anymore. It was,
But I think faith is a habit. And if you don't get that habit early on, then maybe then you're never going to form that habit. I don't know. I mean, certainly there are atheists who end up becoming religious later on. I can't speak for them.
Sure there's fewer than that go that way than the other way.
But habits can be hard to break, no matter what the habit is, whether it's smoking or drinking or playing too much Xbox. Well, any habit can be hard Like, if they don't have that habit, I don't know that they might ever get that habit.
I think it's a lot, and especially with the way that you, you know, quote-unquote lost your faith or came to atheism, I guess, Tim, is that it's a lot like a marriage that's not working. This is not a, this is not me being vague booking about Nick. This is not about just...
I want to be very clear.
But no, I mean, I've seen my mom go through two divorces, and and one that was like a catastrophic cut because it was there was a betrayal there with adultery, and then one that was just attrition. And I think that, and watching the attrition one, you could tell that it's, I mean, it's a habit that you're in. It is. It's the ritual of being married to this person, and you start to doubt certain things about it, and then you start to take a hard look at your relationship with, you know, God or your wife or whatever, your husband, and then you start to get angry about things that you're not feeling anymore, and then you are, you finally come to this realization that it's like, you know what, I just don't even believe this. I don't believe this anymore. Well, it's not working anymore.
I mean, if that's what you're saying, Molly, then I would say it's less of a habit and more of a rut.
See, it's so you know, like when there's like a trench filled with stagnant water, and in the water, there's like bacteria, and you just know that should be filled in because
but
it's dangerous
like,
for
the
everyone.
Water is like stupid and blonde.
Right.
Like stupid
but it's
blonde
a really
water.
Fat trench, just like a fat fucking trench. I love you so much.
So what about there are some kind of like secularly celebrated or acknowledged holidays that are rooted in religion. I mean,
talking
Christianity.
Christmas,
I mean, like it's Christmas. Yeah.
Easter, fuck Easter.
Easter's pretty religious still. I mean, there's so much commercial aspect to it, but it's not as secular as Christmas, I think.
I mean, you know, we celebrated Christmas when I was a kid, but mostly because it's, you know, it's just, it's a holiday.
It's a secular holiday. Yeah. I will not make any fucking apologies for loving Christmas.
It would suck if you were the only kid when you get back to school and they're like, what'd you get for Christmas? I didn't get anything.
Oh, what'd you get for Hanukkah? Yeah. Oh, we're not anything. We do no presents.
Find me a kid that wouldn't say they believe in Jesus for presents. I mean, like...
No, me, that would
even
be
even in, like, fucking sci-fi books I've read that there were, you know, like, they have a midwinter gift-giving holiday.
I was just gonna say, man, like...
Annual winter gift-giving season.
Yeah, and Christmas Kwanzaa.
But, we did Christmas, we did Easter, and those were really the only major holidays.
You just do bunnies and eggs?
Bunnies and eggs. Baskets. You know, like, and when I was very little, we had Santa Claus and an Easter bunny, but we gave that up really fast.
Well, so
we figured that out by about five.
We did that, too. We did the Santa Claus and
we
the
did
Easter
that
bunny.
Too. We didn't...
Santa until she was, like, 17.
I was 15, almost. I was almost 15.
Giving blowjobs and believing
Devin's
in Santa.
Devin's nine, and I don't know where he's at. He really wants to still believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny is where he's at.
And see, now where my mom would do is when she would see that, she'd be like, so that means I got to double down on the trickery because that's going to cement that.
That's not me. Every time if he asks me if Santa Claus is real, I always say, what do you think? And if he ever says, I don't think Santa Claus is real.
He knows.
Yeah.
He's been asking that for 5 years. And
But
I mean, I think he does know. But like I say, he's choosing to believe in the myth because that's important to him.
I think he's waiting until he catches something that he can use as evidence. He doesn't want to come to it on his own, and I can understand that. I was very similar. I didn't want to just stop believing. It was going to have to take proof. That's why it took so fucking long because
Santa Claus is a nice lie to believe in. There's a big fat happy guy with a bushy white beard who's paying attention to everything that you do throughout the year, and if you're
letting
very good, you'll receive gifts.
Well behaved children who follow the rules get the most presents. Oh my god, it was so, I was just like, this is the greatest thing for me. This is the greatest.
But you know, for me, like, Jesus and Santa Claus were kind of on the same level. Like, they both seem to have very similar, you know, when you're a little kid and you're like looking at it, it's like, wow, these things look an awful lot the same. And it's not because, you know, you have like adult processing power to be able to say, aha,
right,
one is a fictional character and so therefore obvious.
And the other
whatever.
One is Santa Claus.
Right.
Santa Claus is going to reward you for being good and Jesus is going to punish you for eternity.
Exactly. If you're lucky, if you do the best, Jesus
is nothing.
Jesus
is for eternity, whether you're good or bad.
Yeah. For me, it was like, if I do good stuff, Jesus leaves me alone. And if I do good stuff, Santa brings me gifts. I don't see the contest here. Like,
that sounds like Jesus is like the negative deity to Santa's like positive deity. I mean,
they're like they're a battery of mythology. That was not a very good metaphor. I'm sorry. That's not, and that's what we're gonna end. All right. So that was Megan. It's time for five questions.
Okay.
That's, we're gonna end on my terrible metaphor. That's, it was technically a simile. All right.
Jeez, Molly.
So, question number one, I'm gonna give to Tim. Question number
one. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
The Lego Movie. I just recently saw it at the Hopkins Dollar Theater.
Everything is awesome.
It made me squee with joy. And now I'm gonna have that song stuck
everything
in the rest of my
cool
head for the rest
of
the night.
Team.
It's, I hate
everything
you all.
Is awesome.
It's Tegan and Sarah with The Lonely Island on the
yeah.
doing the background
yeah,
voices.
Yeah, it's good.
It's, I love that. It was. You know, there was nothing about any trailer for that movie that suggested it was going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
I thought it was great. It was very subversive.
It was very subversive, but I thought the
trailers... It's anti-authoritarian and pro-chaos.
I thought the trailers looked terrible. And but
I was
then,
surprised. You know, I never thought that I could care about Legos that much.
We were excited for the trailers. We both thought it looked pretty cute, but we also have an affinity for, like, random kid movie stuff,
yeah.
So...
Adventure Time and the like.
Yeah.
Well, but... I mean, I like Legos. I thought the idea of the Lego Movie was cool. I thought the trailers made it look...
The
I just gotta say, can we be done with Will Ferrell movies now? That's all I ask.
I'm
thought he was
that.
Great in...
Old School?
No, Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction is a fucking amazing movie.
He's done a serious movie. We can be done now.
I have to say, my very favorite line in the Lego Movie is just Batman going, "Bruce Wayne, who's that? Sounds like a cool guy." And then everyone just being like, "Ugh."
The Batman song that he wrote in the song, and it's on the soundtrack, and it's during the credits.
No, I haven't said that yet.
It's like, dun, 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 no
it's
parents.
All dark. It's like, no parents, darkness, orphan.
Dark, orphan pain.
I've got all this money. Oh, I guess that's not that depressing. Like, it's just.
It's good.
Yeah. Question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
I'm going to cheat here because my favorite atheist character is a character named Paula Dietrich, who is in Stephen Lacey's book series, and I'm trying to remember the name of it offhand, and it has fallen out of my head, but it's a character based on me.
So
I know for a fact that she is an atheist character. And reading the character was pretty fantastic because she's everything that I think I am, but amplified.
That's amazing.
And I've often said that someday I want to go cosplay as myself.
She's a Megan Sue.
Megan at 11.
Does she make puppets?
No. The book series is about, it's a sci-fi series. It's roughly based on like EVE Online, where a sci-fi gaming world sort of spills over into real life, and my character is this, without spoilers, is sort of a
we don't even
behind
name the book
the
of the series.
I'll send it to you later. Whatever. We'll go in the show notes.
Do you get sex done to you?
I do not get sex done to me. No, and I am okay with that.
It sounds like cyberpunk-y.
It is. It's
which
very cyberpunk-y.
That's a favorite genre, probably.
Yeah, so I'll find the name of it, and it hasn't been published yet. It's going to be coming out in, I think, less than a month or
exciting!
So I've read the early drafts.
About to be famous.
We'll see.
Your alter ego is about to be famous.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Question number three is: what is your geekiest hobby?
That is a tough one because my job is pretty geeky as it is.
Yeah. Like,
I'm a professional puppet builder. And so that's pretty nerdy all in itself.
That is very geeky and nerdy.
She totally built puppets for me that I have in the room right now.
And they're staring at us.
They're
and plotting
shining
our murder.
Puppets.
She built puppets I have inside me.
I guess the nerdiest thing that I can claim to is I am obsessed with the movie Prometheus because it is so bad.
It's
like
so
it had
bad.
So many good things going for it,
yeah.
And it turned out to be just a great big pile of shit. And it's gotten to the point where, like, I have gone back and rewatched all of the Alien movies, every Ridley Scott movie. I have read everything that John Spates has contributed to, and everything that Damon Lindelof has contributed to as well. Plus, I'm starting to branch out into things that the other actors have done because I'm desperately trying to understand what the fuck went wrong with
this
movie.
How did this happen?
Fassbender is amazing in it as the android. And
like the actors that they chose, they have great actors in this movie. They had great editing. They had great special effects.
There's so many great parts.
The lead is
Noomi
Rapace, right?
And there's so many good parts. There's really good parts where you're like, that was a great scene.
Is that our first episode? Was
trash.
Why
is it that a $1 billion Medipod can't perform surgery on a woman? Why? Why?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Who would make that? No. Who would make one just for a man?
Like,
how many
gigs of data would it take to be different, to have that too? Why wouldn't you?
We've reached a point in the future where scientists are just really bad at their jobs.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Bad at their jobs.
Who hires a scientist? In what future world do you just touch everything with your fingers on an alien planet? Just like, what is that, poke? Oh, shit. What is that, poke? Like,
we didn't do that.
In fairness, if I was on an alien planet, I would probably poke a lot.
You're not a scientist, Megan.
Doctor.
There's shit on our own planet that we need to wear like full enviro hazmat suits for.
Poke.
There's stuff on New York City streets I wasn't big on touching. Like, I was just looking, I was like,
the first time the astronauts went to the moon, didn't they have to be in quarantine for like a day or two or 3 days before they let him touch anything?
I mean, I lick a lot of stuff. I have a thing where I like to, I need to know
you'd be wearing
taste
a,
like.
You couldn't lick.
High five.
Yeah.
No one's gonna hit that.
The Andromeda strain or something.
I'll hit that because I do.
Yeah, Prometheus is an amazing failure.
Yeah, so I think that might be my very nerdiest thing, is that I'm still trying to figure out.
Uncovering the Prometheus mystery is pretty nerdy.
The second one's still happening. Like, it's still going forward. Yeah.
If a movie makes money, they'll make a sequel, even if it was a shitty movie.
Well,
we're on how many Transformers movies are we on now? I mean, holy shit.
You mean a Transformers movie?
Right.
I gotta share this because I think you guys appreciate this. I just saw this thing that they're doing an Evangelion and Transformers crossover, and it made my heart hurt.
Oh, boy. Mm.
That's happening. Get in the fucking Optimus Prime, Shinji.
Animated? Like,
I don't know. It was all
Japanese.
Why didn't
they just make it Gundam and just be done with it? Evangelion Gundam Transformer.
Evas are organic.
On top, just for fun. I'm sorry?
Evas are organic. They just have, like, shells.
Biomechanical, yeah.
Yeah, they're cyborgish.
Mm-hmm. Transformers. We don't know what the Transformers are made of. They're not from here.
they're made out of metal.
They're made of magical metal.
Yeah.
You tell me right now, Optimus Prime, mm-hmm. can you guarantee that if you leave, they won't attack us anyway?
All right.
All right, question number four. What's your favorite sandwich?
This is going to sound really boring. When I'm at work, I have a loaf of wheat bread and a bunch of shaved turkey, and I will do a single slice of wheat bread with mayo and shaved turkey on it and fold it in half and cram it in my face. Mm. And that's how you build puppets, folks.
Is it real mayo or...
Real mayo. Okay. Just hell with this Miracle Whip nonsense.
Okay. Oh, well, Megan.
It was nice having you, Megan.
Yeah, you've been a real bitch, Megan. We'll see you later.
It's okay. I'm accepting and respectful of our differences when it comes to sandwich spread.
You get that from your mother.
That's, yes.
Yeah.
That's
very.
So you kind of have answered our fifth question earlier.
But maybe you have a different answer.
What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism? And it's, you can't play with my Barbies.
I guess the only other one I would mention, so I mentioned before that my brother and my sister-in-law had the kids baptized, and they asked me, when my youngest niece was born, they asked me if I would be her godmother, and I said, gosh, guys, that's really kind of a stretch, you know?
Yeah.
Science mother?
Godless mother, maybe?
Yeah.
And my brother said, well, you know, I talked with his wife about it and said that, you know, I don't know if this is going to fly because, you know, Megan is far more serious about her atheism than anyone in your family is about their religion, which is totally fair. So I actually, like, it meant a lot to them. You know, why wouldn't I just lie about being, you know, sure, I can just say the words, right?
Right.
I said, no.
It's not...
My dad actually set a really good example for this when I was a kid. My brother was in Boy Scouts, and my dad wanted to be a scout leader, but couldn't, because in Boy Scouts you have to be a theist.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't. He wouldn't say the words. I remember asking him, like, why won't you just say it and get the stupid scarf? And he said, because it means something. It's not just saying the words. You're actually, like, it means something when you say those words. And so I couldn't say the word. So I ended up on the phone with the priest at their parish and had a very lovely conversation with him about all the things that we do agree about when it comes to morality and what it means to be a good human being, how it's important that we try to live our lives and meaningfully and to serve other people as much as we can. But because I can't say the words, but because I don't believe in Jesus, there's no way that I could be a godmother.
Certainly not a Catholic baptism,
no.
Yeah.
And, and the thing is that by saying, well, can't you say the words, it's like, if being a godparent means anything to you, then having that relationship start out
with a lie.
Yeah.
Is really not a good thing.
Well, my nephew is getting baptized in like a week, mm-hmm. and my brother didn't ask us at all because he knows we're atheist, mm-hmm. and he's got a his best friend is also Catholic, and mm-hmm. and so is his wife, who's actually Nick's cousin. So it's like there's this, you know, and that's great, and I love Adam, and so I'm really happy about that. But like I was actually a little not really worried about it, but I was kind of wondering, like, mm-hmm. If they came and asked, are we gonna have to have that conversation? And it would be right. this, and it would be the same conversation. Mm-hmm. He would say, "Why can't you just say the words?"
Right.
You know, just.
I think I actually really hurt my sister-in-law by being as upfront and as honest as I was. I think it kind of hurt her that I wasn't able to, because again, I take my atheism far more seriously than they take their religion.
It's unfortunate that she didn't see it as like a really kind of respectful thing that it is.
There's a difference between saying I'm willing to be an important part of my niece's life,
right,
and I'm willing to lie about who I am
to Holy Mother Church
and who you are your brother and his wife are.
Right.
You're lying about them too, mm-hmm. because you're implicitly including them in your lie.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you're saying you're all in a church doing this ritual that's supposed to be holy, saying none of us really think this matters. We're just here to do the thing.
There's going to be gifts and cake afterwards.
Right? And so that seems super.
Then why are you even doing the baptism to begin with?
Molly's on the list for people to officiate weddings are the Renaissance Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been contacted a number of times with people that want to get married out there to have her do the ceremony in mm-hmm. character or whatever. And every time she prefaces it with,
I say, I am a completely secular officiant. I will make no references to God or gods, mm-hmm. no energies, spirits, great powers, nothing other than you, your spouse, your family, the people who are here today and love in general.
And the power of the state.
And it's like, and if you want something else, I highly recommend you find one of the many qualified people on this list that will mm-hmm. do a religious ceremony. Like, don't feel... but that's, I need to be very upfront about that, because I don't want someone coming to me and then saying like, well, we just really want you to talk about like the energy of everyone here today. It's like, I don't want to do that, because I mean, unless we're going to do scientifically talk about the molecules of everyone here today.
Because it's a lie. And
it's their wedding.
If you want to say that, then that's different.
Their wedding should have the person there who believes the thing they believe. That's the mm-hmm. whole goddamn point of getting married. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, it was really enlightening. Thank you so much, Megan, for being on our podcast. We hadn't ever had anyone who was a second generation atheist before, and it's. I think that's.
Well, except we had my son on.
We did have your son on, but I think like, but more and more, I think it's going to be. That's. I mean, there's going to be more.
It's going to be more common. I hope it's more common.
It's a different experience. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Where can people find Ridiculous Puppet?
You can find us online at www.ridiculouspuppets.com. We are also available on YouTube at just search for channel name Ridiculous Science, or I'm sorry, Ridiculous Puppets. And we can also find us on Twitter. We are at RPC in MPLS.
And you should definitely check out Felton's vlog, because that's one of the funniest things that...
Oh, crap. I forgot to post his vlog today.
Oh, no. And then,
there's still time. It's still today.
So thank you, Megan Culverhouse of the Ridiculous Puppet Company. We have been Geeks Without God. Thanks for rating us on iTunes. If you haven't yet, please do that for us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, all the usual places. And we'll see you guys at Convergence.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geeks Without God, the atheist podcast, ever so much better than Burn and Brew.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Right. Doo 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 doo.